From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies in Psalm 138. The great theme of this psalm is worship, particularly how God's people are to worship Him. The subject is especially appropriate in this day of man-centered worship. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy a devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon. Our text for this morning is found in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. We use lights to make manifest. A Christian man should so shine in his life that a person could not live with him a week without knowing the gospel. His conversation should be such that all who are about him should clearly perceive whose he is and whom he serves, and should see the image of Jesus reflected in his daily actions. Lights are intended for guidance. We are to help those around us who are in the dark. We are to hold forth to them the word of life. We are to point sinners to the Savior and the weary to a divine resting place. Men sometimes read their Bibles and fail to understand them. We should be ready, like Philip, to instruct the inquirer in the meaning of God's word, the way of salvation, and the life of godliness. Lights are also used for warning. On our rocks and shoals, a lighthouse is sure to be erected. Christian men should know that there are many false lights shown everywhere in the world, and therefore the right light is needed. The wreckers of Satan are always abroad, tempting the ungodly to sin under the name of pleasure. They hoist the wrong light. Be it ours to put up the true light upon every dangerous rock, to point out every sin, and tell what it leads to, that so we may be clear of the blood of all men, shining as lights in the world. Lights also have a very cheering influence, and so have Christians. A Christian ought to be a comforter, with kind words on his lips and sympathy in his heart. He should carry sunshine wherever he goes, and diffuse happiness around him. Gracious Spirit, dwell with me. I myself would gracious be, and with words that help and heal, would thy life in mine reveal. And with actions bold and meek, would for Christ my Savior speak.
Found me, Father, she did with us.
In 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Lord said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land and the apparent powerlessness of our churches cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in this urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, a humble attempt to promote explicit agreement and visible union of God's people in extraordinary prayer for the revival of religion and advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth. Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seek it seriously. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message, Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy.
This week, Dr. Cairns has been preaching a message entitled Christ-Centered Worship, part of a series based on Psalm 138. The text is the opening phrase of verse 2, I will worship toward thy holy temple. This defines true biblical worship, which, as we've seen, is our response to who God is. Then the text denotes the way to worship. The psalmist worshiped toward God's holy temple, that place which in its every part typified the Lord Jesus Christ. So our worship is to be toward Christ, who is our only mediator. Finally, the text describes the worshiper. In the light of what we've already seen, anyone who will bow down and look to Christ alone may worship God and be sure that he will be accepted.
And now to bring God's word for today, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
Once you get into the business of creating an experience, it's the experience that matters. And we are feeling our way into thinking. We're going to define truth by what we feel, rather than control what we feel by absolute truth. You have jettisoned Christianity, and you have laid hold of this modern, well, it's really not all that modern. I'm fed up listening to postmodernism. It's as much modern or postmodern as the devil himself, this so-called modern notion that there are no absolutes. Sinners have never believed in absolutes. Sinners have believed in themselves and their lusts, and it's still the same today. Let me give you another couple of examples. I could go on all day in this, you know. But let me give you a couple of examples. We got an email. I laughed at it, but it really is very sad. I got an email this last week from a gentleman introducing himself. I am a Christian comedian, asking for a meeting. He'd even do a Sunday morning. He could be here making you laugh this morning. I usually have my airfare plus $1,500 or $1,350. Since I'm going to be in your area, I'm willing to leave out the airfare. Thank you. And I'm even willing to give you a cut price. You can have me for $750. I wouldn't let him put his, well, I'd be careful here, his feet in this pulpit if he was to pay me $1,500. I want to go to a music hall and listen to a clown, I'll go. But don't tell me it's the worship of God. It's not. And then far, far more. Some time ago, I didn't say much in this because everybody else was saying on it, and I figured I had said enough on idolatry and holy pictures and images of Jesus and all the rest of it that are under the curse of God, no matter if it's a fundamentalist uses them, a Calvinist uses them, a papist uses them, or a heathen uses them. So let me clear the decks. I've said enough about that without me having to deal with Mel Gibson's so-called Passion of the Christ. There are many things said about it. He said it was deliberately an exposition of the Roman Mass, which is a blasphemy. My big beef with that is that any sinful man would dare to act out the Passion of the Son of God is so blasphemous that I think only hell could conceive it. That any man would take to make an image, be it in life, flesh and blood, or on a canvas, or in a statue, that any man would make an image of God, for Jesus Christ is God, is in direct and absolute breach of God's commandment. You do not make any image of God or any image connected with worship. And I tell you, it's impossible for a Christian to look at anything that purports to represent Jesus Christ without being called to worship. It's impossible. Now the Vatican has mistaken its identity, and it thinks it's the religious version of the International Olympic Committee. And it's accepting bids from cities that want to host Catholic World Youth Day for 2008. And in order to bring the Vatican on board for their side, the city of Sydney, Australia, has come up with a very elaborate plan. They want to start in the Sydney Opera House. And there they want to stage a reenactment of the Last Supper. And then they want to go through the city with the Stations of the Cross. And they have invited Mel Gibson to come and do the staging to climax in St. Mary's Cathedral with a live reenactment of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is blasphemous enough for a papist priest to take a little wafer, as I have heard them do, and hold it up and say, "This is your God. And this is a sacrifice for the sins of the living and the dead. True and propitiatory sacrifice." That is vile enough. Our forefathers died to oppose such blasphemy. But now, to take the celluloid Christ from Hollywood, an actor who would not refuse for another payday to act out the part of an infidel or an adulterer or a murderer, and to parade the streets with this hellish perversion of the beauty of the Son of God, and in a way that cost the actor nothing but false tears, portray the crucifixion of the Redeemer, and then to call it worship. I tell you, it's a blasphemy. And here's the thing. When anybody says what I say, he'll be attacked, he'll be criticized, he's a bigot, he's a Catholic basher, he's a lunatic, he can be anything. Let me tell you, when you start hunting experience and making experience the basis of worship, there's no way of telling where you'll end up. Experience hunting and law breaking cannot be worship. I will worship toward thy holy temple by faith in Jesus, not by the breach of God's law and an idolatrous misrepresentation of God's lovely Son. And finally, this text describes the worshiper. I will worship. Who may worship? I can sum it all up very simply. Anyone who will bow himself down and approach God looking unto Jesus, as is revealed in the Holy Scriptures. God commands, "Look unto me and be saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Therefore let sinners look." If you're here this morning and you're not saved, you're burdened down with guilt and fear, you stand on the edge of a lost sinner's eternity, he says, "Look unto me. Look unto me." May sinners look to Jesus. Look and live. There's life for a look at the crucified one. Backsliders may look. When Jonah was far off from God in the belly of the whale, running away from God and his will, bitterly resenting the will of God and the plan and purpose of God,
God brought him to his senses. Jonah 2, verse 4, Jonah from the belly of the whale cries, I'm cast out of thy sight, yet will I look again toward thy holy temple. Am I talking to somebody here this morning? And like Jonah, you have a past of faithful service to God, a past of joyful enjoyment of the grace of God in Jesus Christ. But this Sabbath day finds you out of fellowship, out of joy. Like Jonah, you've gone down, 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 down until you feel you're cast out of God's sight. What should you do? Look again. Look again to Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face. Thank God there's cleansing and forgiveness for everyone that looks. Who may look? In a word, every believing heart may look. Living as we look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Thank God we have a Savior who's acceptable to God. And all who worship God and approach God through him are equally acceptable. Their person accepted in the Beloved. Their worship, as Peter says in 1 Peter 2:5, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. There is no other way of approach or acceptance other than by Christ-centered worship. This is God's way. It's open to you. It's open to me. The only question is, who here, in absolute honesty, will take up David's great prayer and say, I will bow down myself in total surrender and simple faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. May God indeed make us Christ-centered worshipers.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.